streets all tell of the Savior, who cares for the souls of his own. Never has one been forsaken, never has one been alone.
We could all fill the pages of the great things God has done. He's been faithful down through the ages. He is a changeless one. Unto you which believe, he is precious. You who have trusted his word know he's true. He's answered your prayers. He's met every need. He's been everything that he said he would be. Time and again, God's been faithful unto you which believe.
He performs miracles for his children.
He conquered death and the grave. I am amazed that he suffered, just so that I could be saved. Unto you which believe, he is precious. You who have trusted his word know he's true. He's answered your prayers. He's met every need. He's been everything that he said he would be. Time and again, God's been faithful. Unto you which believe. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him for and all. Unto you which believe, he is precious. You who have trusted his word know he's true. He's answered your prayers. He's met every need. He's been everything that he said he would be. Time and again, God's been faithful. Unto you which believe. Unto you which believe.
I appreciate that good song. Amen. Very good. We're going to go to Psalm 42 and start there this morning, Psalm 42. So find that place in the book that you brought with you today. And I failed to mention a little bit ago, recognizing people, Lawrence and Alexis are here. They were in for the memorial service for a grandmother. They got their new baby, Nellie, with them. And so good to have these couples in with their new little ones here this morning. Psalm chapter 42, and we'll give you a second to find it. This sounds different right now. Brother Tom, the scene that's the natural scene for the morning service with these up here and everything. Let's stand together if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, Psalm 42. And I want you to just drop all the way down to the last verse in the chapter. I want to read this. And David writing here, you see Psalm 41 is a psalm that was written by David to the chief musician, and it looks like it's a continuation of those same psalms in chapter 42, 43, 44. And so look at verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, look at chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And I want to speak this morning on the truth teller. The truth teller. Notice that David wrote in two different, under the inspiration of God, wrote in two different places, that God is the health of his countenance. So we'll talk a little bit about the truth teller this morning. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for people who've taken the time and effort to gather here this morning. Be faithful to you. And thank you for those guests from out of town who are with us. It's good to see them. Thank you for the faithful people here week in and week out, Lord. It's always a blessing to see them as well. And the one that we need the most is you. We need you to come. We need your Spirit's presence. Without you, we can do nothing. We know that there is an unseen spiritual world where there's a warfare going on when it comes to truth. And I pray that you will give us the victory this morning. Help us, Lord, to concentrate, put our hearts and minds and enter into the Word of God today, and that your Spirit would do a work in all of our hearts and help us, because that's what we need. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. These two psalms were both written for the sons of Korah, chapter 42, chapter 43. They were the men in charge of the singing and the worship at the tabernacle and later the temple. The word maskil, you see that in the heading there of chapter 42. You see it at the chapter 44. The word maskil indicates that it is a song of wisdom and instruction. Now, this is not what I'm preaching on today. This is not the message. But let me just add here, come aside to say, folks, don't overlook the potential that songs have in the church service. Songs bring great potential in a church service. The songs that are in our hymn book, the songs that are sung by the choir, the special music song that we just heard. Now, unless they're scripture songs, they're not songs that are inspired by God, but they do carry what I believe is a good and helpful message. And almost every time there's a hymn or a special song or a choir song used in our services, it has the potential to encourage us, to uplift us, to help us, to put our minds on heaven, to put our minds on God, the things that great is thy faith. You know, that's a song that's actually a praise to Almighty God. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, beautiful words in that song. So pay attention to them. Don't get lost in the, oh, when is this going to be over? Enter into that, because music didn't begin at Faith Baptist Church or anywhere. It began all the way back. In fact, as far back as creation, where God created one of the lead angels as the musical being in heaven. Now, help songs can help you. Both of these songs end the same way. The writer, probably David, all right, questions why is my soul cast down? Why is my soul at unrest, disquieted? Disquieted means to be in great commotion. It means tumultuous, okay? It means to be troubled, to be in an uproar. So I think we can gather that David writing here, his soul was not at peace, and David's having a difficult time discerning the cause of it. Why is my soul troubled? Why is my soul not at rest? Why am I not at peace? And he's asking this. And then his response to his own question in both verses was the same. Why art thou disquieted within me? Then he says, hope thou in God. Hey, he's talking to himself now. Hope. Hey, David, what are you doing? Hope thou in God. Even though David could not control all the external circumstances and events that were causing him unrest, he could have concrete expectation that God is in control. God's in control. So he thought of all the reasons why his soul would be at unrest, and he concluded that none of them were greater than what his God could control. God was his anchor. And God's love and God's power and God's mercy and grace and truth are unchanging. David, why in the world, David's saying, is my soul at unrest? If David's soul was at peace, God was his anchor. If David's soul was in unrest, God was his anchor. God never changes. David's anchor never moves. And David said what he needed to do was just maintain that concrete expectation that God is in control. I think the songwriter put it this way: when peace like a river attendeth my way, or the opposite, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, what? It is well with my, why? Because God's in control. The anchor's steady. The anchor's not moved. Okay? He's not changed. And so there might be all things tumultuous inside me because of external circumstances over which sometimes I don't have any control. But I don't have to be disquiet. I don't have to be quiet. I have to walk around in this long face, letting the world know that I'm at unrest. Amen. No, I don't have to do that.
Amen.
I can walk around with a countenance that tells the truth about my relationship with my God.
Amen.
And David's saying, my relationship, just concrete. Look, whether we're sailing on calm waters or we're heaving back and forth on tumultuous waves, our anchor is secure. The anchor is secure. Hope in God. Our concrete expectation is that God is in control. And when we go through all the circumstances of this life, we need to remember that our God is in control. And if we remember that, it shows on our countenance. Shows on our... God is the health of my countenance. That's because the countenance is the truth teller. The countenance tells the condition of our relationship with our God. Truth of the matter is, the countenance is kind of, you know, the health of all of our relationships in life is revealed in our countenance. Do you know that a husband and wife cross ways with each other? That shows up in the countenance at home. How many times, don't have to answer out loud, please. How many times have you looked at your husband or your wife and said, what's wrong? And they answer, nothing, huh? Fine. And it works both ways. We always throw the ladies under the bus here, but it works both ways because us men are not error-free in this. I'm not error-free in a lot of things, but... Why do you say, no, I see it on your what? The countenance. There's Bible for that, folks. You remember when Jacob was working for Laban? And Jacob kind of shystered Laban a little bit, and all Jacob's flock started growing, and Laban's are decreasing. And Jacob went home one day, and he said to Leah and Rachel, he said, hey, you know, something's up with Dad. What do you mean? His what? Countenance has changed. Laban never said anything. But Jacob could see it in his countenance. Something wrong with this relationship. Something going on here. Not sure what it is. Maybe if he'd thought a little bit, he'd have figured it out. But there's something going on here. It's not good because Dad's countenance toward me has changed. And, you know, I hope you understand, folks. The song up here this morning was just for fun. I don't think we're a great singer. Now, Mike can sing. Mike can sing. And Luke can sing. Now, Brother Alan and I, we just sing. We just make a joyful noise. That's just for fun. We look at who ever did this. We never do this. It's just for fun. And up here singing, smiling faces, smiling faces, smiling faces. And then I come, they ain't enjoying this. Why are they not enjoying this? This is fun. This is not promotion of us as singers. Oh, you know, the countenance kind of gives your relationship with somebody away. Just like it does the truth about your relationship with church. The countenance is the truth teller.
Amen.
The countenance is the truth teller at home. The countenance is the truth teller at work. The countenance is the truth teller in marriage. The countenance is the truth teller between parents and children. The countenance is the truth teller between students and administration. The countenance is the truth teller. How's it going? Oh, fine. Yeah, right. A person's countenance, the look on their face, derived from the eyes, the expression on one's face. The countenance is a nonverbal testimony about what is going on in a person's heart. And there are times when what is said by our mouth is contradicted by what is being said by our countenance. Did you ever know that your child was lying to you? Know it. Their mouth said, not guilty. But their countenance said, guilty as charged. Right? Okay. Now, that's what happens. The countenance, you can't hide. You can cover it up with this, but you can't hide. The countenance shows, folks. It tells the truth. And the countenance tells the truth about our relationship with God. David said, "Who is the health of my countenance? God is the health of my countenance." What he was saying was, look, you know what? Things aren't going necessarily real good for me. And maybe that's why I'm disquieted. I'm at unrest in my soul. But what I need to do is just hope in God. Concrete expectation that God's not changed. Get right with God. Be right with God. Stay right with God. And you know what? He's the health of my countenance will reveal my relationship with God. That's what he's saying here. Let me give you a couple thoughts this morning. The countenance testifies of an unhealthy relationship with God. That's out of Genesis chapter 4. We don't have time to turn there. You know the story pretty much. Most everybody's familiar with Cain and Abel. The Bible says in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he, talking about God, had not respect. Now watch this. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain's anger at God's rejection of his offering caused his countenance to fall. And God asked Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance falling? So Cain's walking around with this countenance that's a testimony to the fact that he and God have an issue. Why are you angry, Cain? Now, the truth of the matter is there was no good reason for his anger or his fallen countenance. And God said that. Hey, he said, you know what, Cain? If you do well, you'll be accepted. You'll be okay with me. If not, things are about to get worse. What had happened to Cain? What happened? Cain had disobeyed what he had been taught about bringing an acceptable sacrifice, an offering to the Lord. He disobeyed. His dad Adam was present in the Garden of Eden when God performed the very first sacrificial offering, right? What did he do then? He killed an animal. He did a blood sacrifice for Adam and Eve's sin. God could have gathered herbs. God could have gathered the fruit of the garden, the work of Adam's hands, and offered that as a sacrifice for Adam's sin. But God has never used the work of a man's hands as an offering for man's sin. It always requires a blood sacrifice. Cain knew that. His dad taught that. I said, Pastor, how do you know Adam taught that to Cain? Well, what did Abel bring? What did Abel bring? He brought a blood sacrifice. Well, if Abel knew what to bring and Cain didn't bring what he was supposed to bring, it tells me, folks, that Cain and his brother Abel both knew what to bring. And when Cain rejected what his dad had taught him and presumptuously offered the works of his own hands to God, of course it was rejected. Then Cain got mad. And it showed on his countenance. Because the countenance is the nonverbal testimony about our relationship with God. When a person who has been taught the truth willfully turns from it and begins to do their own thing, it always shows on the countenance. The countenance tells the truth about the turmoil in a person's soul when they turn from God's way. Listen, don't get angry at God when you turn from His way and He doesn't put His stamp of approval on how you're living. Don't get angry at God. Because that anger will show on your countenance. The countenance is a testimony. And by the way, folks, there's a way to get everything fixed. Again, God told Cain, if thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted, Cain. All you got to do is get right here. All you got to do is get right. Just get right. Everything's going to be fixed between me and you. You just offer what I want you to offer. But no. Cain never repented. He rejected God. His anger boiled over, and he murdered his brother. How many times in these many years have I witnessed a change in a person's countenance only to learn later that they had turned from some truth of Christian living? Turn from it. Or they've given in to some temptation of sin, and their countenance shows something's not right between me and God. I remember one time, no name, no gender. Remember one time sitting across the desk from somebody that was there to talk about just problems in their life. And what about this? No. What about this? No. But all through the no, the countenance was saying yes. And I wasn't going to let up. And I pushed the Bible across the desk. I said, put your hand on this book and tell me. No. They wouldn't do that. Dropped the head. And guess what changed? The countenance. And it went from this hard, steadfast, to soft. Countenance is a nonverbal testimony about how things are going within us. People go on in their sinful rebellion against God's word, against God's truth, and they wonder why they aren't happy and blessed, and that results in this defiant, angry attitude. And folks, it's going to show up on the countenance. Young people who are brought up in God's way and turn from it, live the rest of their lives with a fallen countenance. It's a reflection of what's going on inside. You say what you want to with your mouth. Listen to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. That's not my word. That's God's word. The show of their countenance doth witness against it. Something inside is not right with God. And God cries out, if you'll only do right, you'll be accepted. But if you don't get this thing fixed, sin lieth at the door. It's only going to get worse for you. Sin creates a sick and unhealthy countenance. That's what it does. The Bible says that little foxes spoil the vine. It's not necessarily the great big sins. It could just be, I look into the face, I look into your faces while I'm preaching. I'm not searching for a poor countenance, but once in a while I get one. And you know, I see the countenances of new converts, and you know what their countenance is? I'm listening. I'm absorbing this. I love being here. I'm taking it in. Please. And then, you know, they may not have everything down as far as Christian living goes, but they're on their way, and their countenance testifies to that truth. And then in the same service, with the same Bible and the same music, and the same message, a person brought up from childhood with the truth sits with a countenance that's just the opposite of that. I'm bored. And when you never look up at the preacher, you're looking down. Either you're looking at your phone or you just don't want to look up at the preaching. I'm bored. I'd rather be somewhere else than in church. When will this be over? So I'm just saying the show of their countenance doth witness against them. It's a witness, either for us or against us. Can you hear God's voice saying, look, if you'll just surrender and accept my way, then this will be well. It'll be well with your soul and your countenance.
Amen.
Reflects the health of your relationship. Just like the countenance at home between husband and wife reflects the health of that relationship.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't ever get upset with each other, but when you do, it shows on the countenance. And it shows on their countenance when we get sideways with God, sideways with God. So the countenance testifies of an unhealthy relationship with God. Number two, the countenance testifies of a healthy relationship with God. Just kind of inferred that, okay? So David is saying here, he's saying, I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The word health means aid. It means deliverance. It means victory. A healthy relationship with God, even when circumstances are not in our favor, will show up in our countenance. A countenance of victory, a countenance that says, you know what? Everything in my life may not be going perfectly, but everything's all right inside between me and God. And my countenance shows it. Everything on the outside may be fine. But if our relationship with God is not right, our countenance is going to reflect that. External circumstances can only create a good countenance temporarily. They can put a temporary smile, a brief laugh, a short look of excitement on a face. But that fades away, folks, and the true story of our relationship with God is going to surface. And on the other hand, when external circumstances are falling apart and not going in our favor, if our relationship with God is healthy, it's going to show on our countenance. I have seen people going through the worst of times, times that create disrest, a disquiet, and unrest in their soul, yet they have a healthy countenance. And why is that? Because God is their anchor and God is their hope, and their relationship with God is right, and the relationship with God is the health of their countenance, not their circumstances. Pity us if our circumstances dictate the health of our countenance. You know, this earlier this week, the 13th was the day that 2015, that Ben and Asher's little boy was stillborn. I started thinking. I remember, and many of you don't remember this, but Frank and Jesse had a little stillborn baby girl. They had Gage and Luke and a little stillborn baby. Did Kara come before Luke? She was after Luke. And they were up, you were in Chicago, weren't you? When Kara was stillborn. But you came by the church. I was in the old gym. You came by the church and you had that little box. You had the body of the little stillborn baby. Baby girl. Had two boys. Those of you that have had kids, you got two of one gender. You're expecting another. It's exciting all the time, but you know what I mean. I'm a little girl. And they stopped by, had a little box. And I hadn't seen it. We had prayer together. And, you know, there were tears, but the countenance was not. And then that Sunday, between services, we went out to St. Anne. And I think, Frank, you carried the little box to the grave. And I remember, you know, Larry and Esther, they have Josiah and then they have Chelsea. But between Josiah and Chelsea was a little stillborn boy. Premature. There's tears. That causes disquiet in your spirit, I would think, wouldn't you? But there was no... And when we met the Ben and Ashley at the airport, there were tears, there were our tears, there were their tears, but there was a soft look. There was no... The countenance, the nonverbal witness about what's going on. Folks, you may not enjoy the circumstances and events, even the situation you're in your life right now, but that does not have to change your relationship with your God. And if your relationship with your God is right, in spite of circumstances that seem to be falling apart, you'll walk through life with a countenance that says, it's well. It's well. It's well. Sin gets in there in our relationship with God, and it whether you like it or not, it affects our countenance. It does. And when our countenance, when we're right with God, our countenance reflects that. You know, to get a good report on our health, we go get a physical. Okay? And everything may be going well, we think, externally, but, you know, we go to the doctor, we rely on some blood work. I don't know if that's what you'd, I used to go every other year, I'm trying to go every year in January, and I want a blood work, and I want a copy of it, and I want to compare it to last year's blood work, and the 2 years before that, and compare these numbers, because that blood work doesn't lie. Then I'm asking the doctor, you know, what do you want the doctor to do? Tell you the what? Truth, right? If there's an issue, I want to know about it. And the doctor, if he's doing right, he's the truth teller. He tries not to make you nervous or unduly scared. But he tries to be honest with you, I would hope. Well, that's what the countenance is, folks. The countenance is the doctor. It's the truth teller that gives a true report as to how the health of our relationship with God really is. And I'm speaking to a handful this morning. And most of you fall in that young adult range, older teenage, young adult range. And I'm saying that your continual countenance here says that something's not right. Something's not right. You can do one of two things. You can go on like Cain did, and things are only going to get worse. Or you can get fixed. And God said, you know what? If you just do right, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Everything will be good. See, that's the kind of God he is. He forgives, and then he goes on, everything's fixed. Then hold it over your head. And I'm not being mean this morning, I'm not being ugly, but this scripture has caught my attention. God does not repeat himself because he ran out of something to say. He repeats himself in the Bible for sake of emphasis. And here, God is the health of my countenance. My relationship with him is reflected in my countenance. It shows on your face. It shows on my face. So take a little bit of time and think. And just, you know, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, say, you know what? It's not because he's the pastor, but he's the mouthpiece this morning for the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, saying, you know what? This is right on target. And if something needs to get fixed, then fix it. Which has happened recently in a way that I'm not even going to talk about. But a young adult got some things fixed. Fixed. I asked him, I said, so what prompted you to get this fixed. The emphasis on prayer. Because I was praying and I felt like a hypocrite. And it's fixed. Fixed. It got fixed. Cain, you don't have to go on like this. Get it fixed. And all will be right. But if you don't, things are going to get worse. The truth teller is our countenance. We can say one thing with our mouth. Our countenance says the opposite. Father, would you help us this morning? We want to be right with you. I would hope we do. I would hope that be the desire of all of our hearts, to be right with you. Lord, if there's something not right in our heart this morning, put your finger on it. May the Holy Spirit of God do a work that only He can do. And God, just draw our attention and help us not to go on like Cain did foolishly and end up in more trouble, greater heartache. And Lord, He said His punishment was more than He could bear. Sad. Lord, help us to be right with you. What is it? Help. The songwriter said, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Help us to ask ourselves that question this morning. And Father, if there's an issue going on between us and you that's showing on our countenance, I pray that you'd help us to get it fixed. Give us the courage, the humility to fix it. And only you can fix it, so we have to go to you. And you're the anchor. You never move. We can go through very tumultuous waters, and yet our countenance be good. Help your people. Help us all. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Pray in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere along the course of the message, I get your heart. You're not here to hurt me. You're here to help me. And something somewhere along the course of the message, God kind of spoke to me quiet in a still, small voice. And I needed to hear this morning. And I'll acknowledge that God spoke to my heart today in a specific way. Can I see your hand? Put it in the air. Be humble enough to say that this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Okay? Get started on getting it fixed. God's not a hard taskmaster. He's a very merciful God. There needs to be a repentant spirit and attitude. God, I'm wrong, and fix this. Help me. Help me. Pastor, I need to get in on this. I need to be honest. I need to be honest with myself, with God. I should have raised my hand a moment ago. Resisted, but I'm not going to do that now. One more opportunity. God spoke to me. I needed this. I need some help with it. Would you hand it? Lift your hand if that's you. All right, I see you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, you've never been saved, we'd like to invite you to learn more about how to trust Christ as your Savior. At the beginning of the message, I talked about the only offering sacrifice that God accepts is a blood sacrifice. Jesus Christ provided that blood sacrifice for you when He died on Calvary. And the only way your sin is forgiven and you're granted eternal life in heaven is through the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. If you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to call your name or come to you, Pastor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand up in the air? Maybe you're trusting your works or somebody else told you, but not Bible salvation. If you're here, you've been saved, never baptized, obey the Lord. Do His will. It's the greatest thing you can do. Just obey Him. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless the time of invitation, letting you work in our hearts in Jesus' name. As she plays, we're going to let the Word of God work. You obey the Lord this morning. Truth teller is the countenance. David said, God is the health of my countenance. It's okay if things are upheaval in my life. I hope in Him, in my relationship with Him, determines the health of my countenance. Not my relationship with the circumstances, but my relationship with Him. What's your countenance saying? What's it telling people? She's playing that beautiful old hymn, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." I hope that's what you can say this morning. Hope there's nothing there that grieves God. It's unconfessed, self-will. Maybe God's been kind of pressing down on a certain area of your life recently. You just kind of resist it. Best thing in the world is to let go of it. Turn it loose. Give Him His way. It'll be reflected on your countenance. Nothing between.